My name is Father Felix López. I'm from Spain, Toledo, Spain. As I said yesterday in my homilies, Toledo is a beautiful city in central Spain. And I am a member of the servant priest of the home of the mother. I am part of that big spiritual family, which is the home of the mother. Here you are lucky to have our sisters. I have been with them for many years, but still I don't have their level of sanctity. And then you are lucky. Anyway, I met Father Raphael, our founder, when I was 16 years old, many years ago. I had still hair on my head. Yeah. He was a young priest. He was very much on fire to work with the youth. And in 1982, the group of girls began. The girls are always first. And then next year, 1983, the group of boys, young men, we commit ourselves to have a life, a serious Christian life, really looking for sanctity with a life of prayer, with a lot of apostolic work, and being open to whatever the Lord was calling us to leave. Then, little by little, in that group, we were receiving very good formation, mainly from the homilies and teachings of Pope John Paul II. Now, the home of the mother was born with his pontificate, and we have been following him. He has been, in some way, our master and our teacher, and we have a great devotion to him in our community. When I went to the university college to study pharmacy. I was there for 5 years. I got my degree, but in the midst of my studies, I felt a call to the priesthood. And for me, to be a priest was to be a servant priest of the home of the mother. Some of you may find this kind of interesting or funny, how you can have a vocation to a community that it doesn't exist yet, no? But for me, there was no any doubt, because it is true that canonically speaking, the community was not there, but the spirit was, no? We were a group of young people. We have our own charism, our own spirituality, the defense of the Eucharist, the defense of the honor of our Blessed Mother, especially the privilege of her virginity, and the conquest of young people for Christ. And we were like a family under the guidance of Our Lady. We were like full of enthusiasm for the faith. And then, as I said, when I discovered my vocation to the priesthood, I immediately felt called to become a servant priest of the home of the mother. But at that moment, I was the only one. Then, in order to have a community, you need more than one. Then I went to the seminary, diocesan seminary, always with the idea of becoming a servant priest. And in that process, there was a moment with some other guys, felt the vocation, and then in 1990, we began our community. We found a bishop who was ready to approve the community, ordain me as a priest in 1993. Then if you are good in mathematics, you see that I'm going to be 25 years as a priest in December. Then pray for me. It's a kind of part of my silver anniversary to be here with you. I'm planning also, hopefully, a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in September. But and that was my vocation. You know, I was ordained in 93. I was the first priest ordained for the community. And since then, we have been growing little by little. We have now communities in Italy, a house of formation there. We have two communities in Ecuador. After the earthquake in 2016, when Sister Claire passed away, the Archbishop of Porto Viejo, Monsignor Boltolini, is from Italy, was calling us to help there, to to take care of the parish where the school is, and also very generous, together with that parish, he gave us 14 more little parishes. Then our priest has been there working. We have two priests and two brothers working there. The first months, they were very much in need in a very poor house. They have no car. They have to go by bicycle to the parishes in Ecuador with the heat. But they were full of enthusiasm. And a couple of months later, because of the consequences of the earthquake, we had to demolish two churches that we are rebuilding now, like little by little, with the help of the Lord, too. And we have another community there in Ecuador, in Guayaquil, a parish, Our Lady of Loreto, with 17,000 people. We have four parishes in Spain, in Madrid, one in Valencia, and then we have our house formation, spiritual formation, the novitiate in the north, in Cantabria. Then, that's more or less the story of my vocation, my community. These days, probably I will share like more stories with you. But now I want to go to the point, to the subject that I'm planning to explain and to reflect with you today, that is sanctity. Why are we going to speak and to reflect about sanctity? Because sanctity is like the essence of our church. It's part of the characteristic of our church as one holy Catholic apostolic church. Then that sanctity is part of our identity. And Pope John Paul II, in his letter Novo Millennio Ineunte, for the beginning of the third millennium, he was saying that all the pastoral work of the church has to be focused in that sanctity. He said, we cannot forget that every Christian life is called to reach that sanctity, that fullness of Christian life. And he said, if you are asking somebody, do you want to be baptized? It means you are asking him, you are asking that person, do you want to become holy? Because to be a Catholic, to be baptized, implies that vocation to holiness. And there is no any mediocre way of living our faith. We can't forget that we all are called to that sanctity. What is sanctity? God is the only one who is really holy. We see that in Scripture, how the angels, the seraphims, in the presence of the Lord, they were singing, holy, holy, holy. That holiness is part of the essence of God. It's in some way his own nature, is that holiness, that glory. And then, even though that he is the only one that is holy, he wanted to share his holiness with us. We were created by him out of love to share his divine life, to share his holiness. That holiness is impossible for us by ourselves. It's not only impossible to reach, but we can say that that holiness is also above our human nature. It's a different level of being. It's a different, nature. Let's try to put an example that I like and I have been using in some other occasions. It's the one of broccoli, okay? You all know what is broccoli? Yes. Okay. And imagine that you have a garden with broccoli Then one morning you go and you're walking through your garden and there is a broccoli with eyes, open eyes, and said, "Good morning." And you would be really surprised and astonished. Why? Because it is not part of the nature of the broccoli to speak, to have eyes. What is this? You would be really amazed, no? Surprised. Well, the same for us. We are just human beings. But because of God's love, we have been called to share His divine nature, to share His holiness, to share His divine life. And God is sanctifying us through Jesus Christ, His only Son. God is communicating to us His holiness through Jesus Christ, who died and was risen for us. We share that through baptism. Baptism is the very beginning of all graces. In baptism, we receive that divine nature as a seed that has to develop, that has to grow. And that is why in the early church, they used to call all the faithful the holy people. They were all called holy. And in baptism, we receive that holiness in our nature. As I said, it's like a new birth. It's a new birth. Jesus said this when he was talking to Nicodemus. Right? You need to be born again. And Nicodemus was surprised. How can you enter again in your mother's bosom and be born again? You have to be born from water and spirit. Baptism. That's a new birth. In Latin, to be birth means like natus. Nativity, natus, is to be born. Then from natus, you have nature, natura. Then from a new birth, you have a new nature. The new birth from the water and spirit is bringing us that new nature, divine nature. We are partakers in the divine life. And that's something that is amazing. St. Paul told us that we have been chosen in Christ before the creation of the world. That's something incredible. If you think about it, you and me, we are not here just by chance. We were in God's mind. The Lord was dreaming us, our existence. I am not like thrown here in the middle of this world. God has chosen me in Christ to be born. He created me for this particular purpose, so that I can be holy and share His divine nature, share His holiness, His life. Today, I think there is a temptation of not speaking about holiness. We try to think that it is like too much for us. It is too much for us. And we look at ourselves and we think sometimes it is not possible. You know, I am such a sinner that, well, you know, holiness is there. And that holiness is kind of for a few chosen ones, for a few super men or super women, but I am not one of them. No? Then that sanctity is impossible for me. And I would say, as I said before, it is impossible for you alone, but it is possible for you with the grace of the Lord. And it is not only possible, but it is, St. Paul said, this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. The church in the Vatican Council was also insisting in this aspect. Now, the Constitution Lumen Gentium about the life of the church, from number 40, 38, 40, 42, you can read there the universal call to holiness. And he said, all the faithful, no matter what condition they are, the clergy, the lay people, religious, we all are called to the fullness of Christian life. We are all called to the fullness of Christian life. Then you lay people, you are not like a second-class Christians. Sanctity is not something only for priests or religious sisters. You are called to sanctity. For sure, your sanctity would be live in a different way according to your vocation. But the essence of that sanctity is the same for all of us. It's the same for all of us. And what is sanctity? Perfection in charity. This is beautiful. It's not something that is related to my intelligence. I can be more clever or less clever. I can be more gifted for singing or not singing, for sports. Everybody is capable of loving. Everybody has a desire to love. Everybody has that capacity to love. That desire to love and to be loved. And perfected by the grace of the Lord and by the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, Romans 5:5. St. Paul said, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God Himself is making possible for us to love with His own love. Our capacity of love has been redeemed and perfected in Christ. And that's why we are called to the fullness of perfection, fullness of charity. I think this is very important and interesting too, my friends. How Christian life is a life of plenitude. We Catholics are not called to be less than others. Our faith is not an impediment for us to develop all the greatness of our human nature. It is the opposite. If you look at the history of the church, who has been fully a man, fully a woman? The saints. The saints. All the grandeur of the human nature is taken to perfection with the grace of the Lord. And that's why we need to have before our eyes these great examples that are the saints. We need the saints. Because when we contemplate them, they remind us that, first of all, sanctity is possible. They were exactly like we are. They were human beings. They were weak. They had temptations. They have to fight. They have to conquer themselves. They have defects. But they were able to reach to sanctity because they trusted in the Lord. And their way, they were using the means to have that divine life that the Lord is giving to all of us. But the saints are there before our eyes. John Paul II, he said too in that same letter, Novo Millennio Ineunte, he said, I had the joy to canonize many saints. In fact, as you know, he himself canonized more saints than all the popes in the whole history of the church. He wanted to make visible for us that sanctity is there, that it is possible. And you can see there all kind of saints, children, women, lay people, workers, religious, priests. You can have models before your eyes. And they prove to us that the church is still alive. And the church is still holy because Jesus Christ has sanctified His church with His blood and with His love and with His death. And no matter if the church is full of sinners, still is the holy bride of Christ and is still producing saints. Today We have saints in our church. Then this is beautiful. The church is alive. It's like a tree that is producing fruits of sanctity because the Holy Spirit is working within it. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying people today. It's sanctifying all those who open their hearts to the mercy of the Lord and let themselves be sanctified by Him. Sanctity is possible. Sanctity is for you and for me. And that would be our failure, not to be saints, not to be holy. Sometimes we are worried about our business, about some other different aspects, and we are afraid of that failure. No, everything is like relative. The only absolute failure is not to be holy, because we have been created for that holiness. That is the will of God, your sanctification. There is no doubt. For a young people, young men, young women, they have to discern what way to follow, what way they are called. But the end, the goal is the same for all of us. We are all called to sanctity. And we need to have that very clear before our eyes and before our minds. We have a goal. We have a destination. Many people are like vagabonds. They are just walking around. They don't know where they go. They have no purpose in life. We are pilgrims. We are walking. We are on our way. We know where we are going. The Lord is waiting for us. We have a destination. And we begin to live that destination here through that life of holiness. That is something amazing. I like that very much. You know, when we have the life of grace, you know, the life of God in us, as much as we are similar to Christ, that's our path to sanctity. And when we have that divine life in us, nothing can destroy that, not even death. The degree of union with God you have, the degree of identification with Christ that you have, not even death can destroy. Only one thing, sin. Your free will choosing sin, giving your back to God. That's the only thing that can kill and destroy that divine life in you. But out of that, nothing. And then when we live that divine life, when we live in a state of grace, when we want to grow in that holiness, we are becoming more and more similar to Jesus Christ. St. Paul explains Christian life like that. It is not me who lives. It is Christ who lives in me. Then, my brothers and sisters, that's our vocation. To be like Jesus Christ. That's why there is no space in our lives for a mediocre life. We cannot think in our Christian life like a religious club where we come just on Sundays to spend 45 minutes and then we go. No, that divine life is like filling and transforming our whole existence. There cannot be division between my life of faith and the rest of my life at home, at work. Like if God only exists when I am at church. That divine life is transforming and is making me leave all the different aspects of my life from God. With that divine life and with that divine light. I said before that God is giving us His holiness through Jesus Christ, through the Paschal mystery, His death and resurrection. But that is effective to us through the sacraments of the church. As you know, we have seven sacraments. I remember in one occasion, I was here in Florida, was the year 2003, and we were visiting and giving catechesis to some of the immigrants from different countries. And I remember one day we have a kind of a gathering with a big family. You know, the grandfather was there, then his children, the grandchildren, etc. And before I started to talk, to see more or less what was the level, I asked one of the girls, "Okay, can you tell me how many sacraments do we have in the Catholic Church?" And the girl said, "Well, Father, I am not sure, but I think we have 10. And then the grandfather said, "No, my daughter, we have 5. We have 5. Then I realized that I have to begin in the low level. And then we have 7 sacraments. All of them are coming from the cross of the Lord. The main one, the Eucharist. Because in the other sacraments, we are receiving the grace of God. In the Eucharist, we receive God Himself. It's not His life only, it's His person, His work of redemption, His body, soul, blood, and divinity. Then, if we want to become holy, we need, in our freedom, to choose to use the means that God has given us for our sanctification. How can we become holy if we are not close to the Holy One who is in the Eucharist, who is going to sanctify us? He is the only one that can do that. And it is only in the measure that we are close to Him, that we receive Him worthily in the Eucharist, that we spend time in prayer with Him, that we go to confession often, that we are going to be sanctified. He is the only one that will make us capable of loving. As you know, Christian lives, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Very simple, but always love. Perfection of love, perfection of charity. That is our sanctity. Then today, I want to invite you to renew your desire, your decision to become holy. That means to renew your decision to live fully your Christian life. Knowing, as I said before, that we are all called to sanctity. That the saints are with us. I invite you also to read the life of the saints. How many saints do you know? How many lives of the saints have you read? When you come to know them, you really start to live the communion of the saints. They become your friends. When you are with somebody that is really good, you love that person. You want to be with that person. You feel well when you are with somebody that is really good. Then they are not good, they are holy. And they are always with us. You can talk to them. You can pray to them. You feel them around you. And the number of friends is increasing. And then when we will reach to heaven, you will meet, "Hello, Teresa. Hello, Francis. Hello, Ignatius." Yeah, they intercede for us. They are there for us. And as I said before, you can find examples of sanctity with married people, children, priests, martyrs, confessors, and many others. Pope Benedict said, are many other saints completely unknown. Many people that they accomplish their task with love, that they show that goodness, they show that joy, that simplicity, that humility, that make God present in our lives. Sometimes we have holy people around us and we don't even realize. that they are holy. Cuisentrice of Lisieux, some of her sisters in the Carmelite convent said, if Sister Teresa passed away, what are we going to say about her? There is nothing special. In the outside, nothing special. In the inside, what a difference. And that's also the key of our sanctity. Sometimes we are afraid of sanctity because we think that sanctity is something extraordinary. And it is not. For us, should be supernaturally natural. You understand what I mean? It's impossible, but it's supernaturally natural. I am called to holiness. That's my vocation. That's part of my Christian life. To be a Catholic, to be baptized, means I want to be holy. I have to be holy. That's my desire. That's my goal. That's my purpose in life. That's my vocation. I was created for that holiness. Then come to know the life of the saints and become friends with them. They intercede for us. They are with us. And as I said, they prove that the church is alive, that the Holy Spirit is working, that the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, is still sanctifying people. You know what something that is very consoling is? To know that God, the Holy One, has been all of these centuries sanctifying sinners. You look at the history of the church, many of that saints were big sinners. Then there is hope for all of us. There is hope. Our sins and our miseries are never so big that the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can't transform us. And let us trust. This is the will of God, your sanctification. The Lord wants you to be holy. That's His will for you and for me. Then if we are not holy, it's because we don't want to be holy. If we allow ourselves to be transformed and sanctified by Him, we can be holy. We will be holy. Okay, that's it. I don't want to speak too much. I prefer Him to talk to you. That's why we are going to have now time of personal prayer and silence before the Holy One. The Holy One. We can approach to Him with that confidence. St. John of the Cross said, if you want to be holy, much more the Lord wants you to be holy. No? He's not our enemy. He's generous in giving His life and His grace to all who really trust in Him. Then place yourself before the Lord and ask Him to give you this strong decision. Lord, I really want to be holy. No? I trust in the power of Your grace. Pour out Your Holy Spirit within me. Transform me into the image of Christ. It is not me who lives, it is Christ who lives in me. Lord, make true this so that everybody can see Your holiness through me. And I can be like a living image of Your goodness and Your love for my brothers. Amen.